Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
This is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God. Welcome to episode 8. Today is February 3rd. It has been almost
2 weeks,
almost two weeks since we did our last one. We were in the middle of the beginning, I should say, of Snowpocalypse 2025.
It had just started falling snow. It was about the midday. We were already buckled in for what was going to be 2 to 3 days of snow and ice, and
which ended up being like 4 days.
It did not disappoint. For Southern Alabama, I think we ended up with what they record counted as 8, almost 9 inches,
something like that.
And it was it's a lot. We got the most out of all of our local areas. So, but we got to see snow, and that's not normal. Our kids got to see snow,
mm-hmm.
roll around in it, play in it, make snowmen, have snowball fights.
Do lots of silly stuff. They did the snow angel challenge and shorts and t-shirts and polar plunged into the pool a couple of times. And there was a dance in there on Saturday, and there was still snow on the ground. So they got some really pretty pictures with their dates. The girls did. And, yeah, so it was a lot of goodness. It locked us in for a few days. So we got to spend some real good time together and lots of fire time.
Yeah, we got to have some great conversations and just enjoy staying in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Enjoy seeing our surroundings. And we stay pretty busy. If it's not our schedules that are busy, it's the kids' schedules that are busy, and yeah. we're chasing them. So to have a couple of days of staying in, because even if you went out, there was nowhere to go. The local businesses were
closed down.
They were asking you just not to drive, because, you know, in our area, we don't have trucks to scrape the roads. We don't have salt and things to put down there. So, you know,
it was kind of nice, though, to have a forced stay in, a staycation. You know, it took me back to some of the COVID time when it felt like the world was shut down, and we all put our phones down and turned the TVs off, and
we played games.
We played cards, and kids had some friends over, and it was really good quality time. There was no agenda. We did binge watch some movies and probably spent more time on our devices than we needed to, but it was all together in the same place. And it was kind of a nice breath for a few days. On the flip side of that, when you're an organizational routine type of person, it kind of throws you into a loop, because it's like, oh, now what do I do with myself? And after a few days, it was like, I don't care where we're going. We just need to go somewhere.
Yeah,
we need to go drive
out.
Around and see where the ice still exists, or see where the snow still sits. Like, it was just the stir crazy kind of sat in. So, I mean, it's a good intro into kind of how the last couple of weeks have gone. 'Cause in the beauty and the fun of all of that, it still brought its own challenges.
It did. 'Cause when you're stuck in and you don't have any place to retreat to, or things that otherwise divide your attention, you really have to look inward. And if you're not looking at those that you're surrounded with, it also kind of has you look at yourself a whole lot. You know, you start wondering, all right, well, if everything went away, if everything stopped, what's left over inside of me for purpose, fulfillment? You know, where who am I now if I don't have a job to go to today, or you know, a church routine to get into, or a youth group to attend? There was a lot of things that we kind of looked at, because all of those things were off the table for a couple of days. You know, the kids' youth group was shut down, and, you know, breakfast and things like that we do with friends and discipleship opportunities, everything was just stopped.
But your jobs didn't stop, because they aren't dictated on the weather.
No, the internet still worked. So did I.
So it wasn't. So half of us were paused in life, but you weren't. And that added a different level of, okay, so we're here, but we're not here.
Right.
And I think, you know, it's to think about it. You weren't really home during COVID either. You were deployed to Germany at the time. And so it was just me and the kids. So it was kind of that reminiscent time of just quality time and relationally growing closer to the kids and doing things. And you were kind of absent. And, you know, not that it was a bad thing or anything wrong. It's just you're very busy, and your ability to stop and be present is, you're still working on that.
Definitely still working on it. I think a lot of that kind of ties into maybe some of the things we wanted to kind of open up today. And Christian and I have had some great conversation, you know, over the last couple of days in particular, of really, you know, looking at your identity and your purpose and what defines you and how you feel defined begins to determine what you're filling yourself with. You know, you're always going to have a void inside. And, you know, biblically speaking, we know the right answer is, you know, put God in the void. But sometimes we choose other things to fill those voids with based on how we want to be, right. You know, stimulated. Those can be with people or relationships, jobs, hobbies, shopping, sports. There's a lot of compulsive things that we can put in those voids. But at the end of the day, the crux of the issue is sometimes you just don't really know who you are. Or maybe you're in a life transition point like so many of us are right now, where I maybe knew who I was, but I've transitioned into a different phase of my life or my maturity, and I'm having to relook or redefine where my identity and purpose is.
Right.
And that can be very challenging because you can wander around without it a long time, and you can fake the funk on that one for a very long time. It's not hard to convince people that you've got it all together. It's not hard to put on the face and the posture because of your reputation and make it look like, they have got it all put it, you know,
right.
They're where they're supposed to be. They're doing great things. And then when you begin to strip it all back, sometimes you find somebody that is lacking their own identity, lacking their own ability to be able to sit back and go, why am I here right now? Why am I doing this? Why did I choose this course of action?
But sometimes too, I think that those questions come, we have to, in our walks with Christ, we have to kind of define, am I doing this for worldly gain, or am I seeking kingdom gain in what I'm doing? Where is my purpose? Is my purpose in the world? Is my purpose within God's kingdom? And am I bringing glory to God in what I'm doing in the world and allowing God to use us? And sometimes in these seasons, he's using us in the littlest of moments, but we don't see it. We don't see the value and the magnitude of what our efforts are doing for the kingdom. So in turn, because we're not seeing it, we're not believing we're on his path.
Right.
And how does that correlate to our walk with Christ?
And you know, it's that parable. I know we've mentioned it a couple of times, of sowing the seeds, and it would be great to know that we got to sow the seeds and water the seeds and harvest the crops and then see all the fruit that came at the end. But that's God's glory. You know, right. those are the pieces. And sometimes he lets you into that. There's absolutely some times when you may have been the doer that started the revolution or change in somebody or something. And then he lets you in to see where he carried it from there and the success at the other side of that or the win. And sometimes you wait, which is a whole different topic in itself. But something I think we're in the middle of talking about amongst ourselves and with other people is, you know, that concept of a breakthrough. You know, you want to have this action and reaction, or action with an outcome. And we're all kind of driven that way. you know, I eat food and I want to feel fulfilled, or I work out and I want to lose weight. You know, you always want to see an effort put in with something that is gained. And God doesn't necessarily always work in that magnitude or in that method of measure. There's many times when it's a much delayed process in that breakthrough,
right?
Something that you could be just silently praying for, which is equally as important, and you may not ever get to see God's hand in that.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he didn't hear it. It certainly doesn't mean.
And it doesn't mean that we stop trying. If I go to the gym today, I'm not going to have a six pack by the end of the workout.
If
but
you do, let us know how it worked out.
Right. Mm-hmm. It'll be a spray tan.
It's okay.
I'll spray tan it on. But isn't that kind of the world we live in? We're
instant
in this
gratification.
Instant gratification. We're in this impulsive world of, okay, today I want a six pack. So today I'm going to go get a six pack. Like, no, that's not how it works. Our health requires effort, and it requires intentionality every single day. And it's the combination of all of those days building up to seeing the success. So when we look back after 6 weeks of being in the gym and we take those pictures, and we can see that, look at how much our body has evolved since 6 weeks ago. And you find that reward and that success in that moment of like, okay, I worked hard and I earned this. I worked hard for it. Sometimes in our spiritual walk, when we're discipling or we're very passionate and we are praying so fervently for breakthrough in some avenue or some place of our lives, it takes a long time of faith to know that we're trusting God to move in that situation, that he has already gone before us. He already knows the plan. He already knows his timing, and having that faith and trust to know that, okay, I may not be seeing right now what the big picture is, but God, I'm being obedient and I'm doing what you've asked me to do.
And many times I feel like he understands us and our life much better than we do. He understands what we are capable of understanding and capable of handling. And sometimes I think a breakthrough can be, the breakthrough itself may not necessarily be withheld, but the revealing of it may be withheld to you or me, maybe because potentially our motive is wrong. Our heart space is not in the right place. Is if he shows you the win now, you're so close to it that your pride associates that with your effort.
Right.
And there wasn't enough separation of your action and his spirit for you to really see that I did 2%, he did 98%, and that was the result. He is
right.
The result. Because if he gave you that win right away, you're going to walk away, go from, you know, hands in the air, putting the belt around your waist, like, look what I did.
Right.
You know, it's a human nature sometimes to want to claim that victory. And so I think he can see our heart space in some of those cases and say, I'd love to share this win with you. The angels are all around you celebrating. Absolutely. But right now this is me. I own this and I deserve to have this. I'm happy to have you a part of my workforce, but you got to understand that my kingdom is built, you know, at my hand. I wrote down in my notes through church that it's amazing for me to see that we are privileged enough to get to do in part of God's plans. But at the end of the day, he did it.
Right.
He did it. He could have done it without us every time. Like we really weren't needed. It really, he's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He does not need Kenny or Chrissy to jump in and make that whatever happen for him. God's totally cool.
Right.
But he sits on the sideline like, you know, the doubles wrestling. It tags you in for a minute. You get to go in the ring for a few, do a couple rounds, and then you get to go back to the ropes and tag God back in and say, you know, it's yours. You get to finish this. And I think if you sit back and just marvel in the fact that we get to be a part of the process at any level, that becomes a victory. That becomes a boost of confidence that can immediately fill you of just understanding that you are special enough to him. You are purpose-built enough to him that he chose you for some portion or some piece of a task to do
and
it.
I think it's important to note that what God has tasked us to do, and what really the last couple of weeks have held for me, is what God tasks us to do is live our lives for Him. And that's in the simplest of forms. We can talk about mentorship and discipleship and relationships and all of these big things of getting people to come to salvation and give their lives to God, which are so important, right? But sometimes it's just in the sharing of our day-to-day lives that is a testimony and a ministry to others that are watching you, sharing our life and how we're living it every day. Like, God tasks us to live each day for Him and being a good steward of our time and our energy and our effort and our mind space. And over the last couple weeks, it's really probably post snowstorm, I myself have really struggled with that place of purpose and being and not getting consumed. I've failed miserably in just getting consumed within social media. Social media for me is a place that I think is numbing my brain, but it's really making my brain spiral. It's like just the wavelengths of constant stimulation that social media brings to us. It's really not ever a calming place, but it's a place that we can mindlessly scroll, and the after effects of what we're doing to ourselves mentally are then roll over into every other aspect of our life. We can't focus. We can't be task oriented because we're so used to multitasking. Our brain is so used to processing the millions of stimulus that social media brings to us that then you just spiral yourself on this roll of depression. And that's what I did to myself last week. I had no schedule. I had no commitments. In the few things that I did have on a couple of days last week, I was able to, they were short enough and in short enough spurts that I could mask where I was at emotionally. Pride stands in the way for me in reaching out to people because I've conditioned myself to be well put together. I'm the strong one. I'm all of the things. And this is not what God calls us to do. God calls us to reach out to our iron that sharpens us. He calls us to reach out to our friends and our loved ones and be held accountable and not to isolate. And I found myself last week just in this constant place of not being productive. There were so many things swirling around us that Satan found the crack. And then it was, you know, you were out of town for a few days and we had kid issues and we had just the schedule got busy later in the week. And It was not until Saturday night when you and I were able to sit and have a conversation that I was able to admit, this is where I've been all week.
I think the word you used, just to be completely transparent and fair, was depression. Mm-hmm. You said to me, Kenny, I'm seeing right now in a moment of communication and clarity because we're sitting here having a good open conversation. Like, I really feel like for the last, you know, week, I've sat in a place of depression. I've sat in a place of blah. Without reason, you know, there wasn't like a major life triggering event. You know, sometimes you can see this with a family member passing away, or, you know, reasons right. that would authenticate a bit of depression. But with this, it really didn't have a triggering event.
No. And the hard part was that I was getting up every day and going to the gym. I was showering every day. And again, that is typically a very indicative sign of where my mental health is at, is that if I'm not taking care of myself, my mind is gone. So I think that's probably why it was a longer episode for me mentally, because I was doing all of the right things, or so I thought, But mentally and emotionally, I was not present.
But part of that, you know, part of the healing process in that you were starting to talk on earlier was, you know, when you have yourself kind of put together all the time and you have this aura that you feel like you have to obtain, you lose your genuineness as a whole. And in your attempts, and that's a not your as in you, but as right. in the collective your, in your attempts to try to keep it together for everybody else's sake, that disauthenticity begins to show through more and right. almost becomes the opposite effect of, well, you know, I know you're faking that, you know,
right.
and if you don't think enough of me to just say, you know, I'm having a bad day today. I don't really know why, but I right. could use a friend. You know, this is where I'm at. Sometimes you just need to be in a place and a space to have that place to break down.
Right.
It may not even always be in your spouse. And I know that this week would be a perfect example of that. You and I had several moments of conversation during the trouble. My words were not reaching your ears. I could see it, and I addressed it a couple of different times, probably not in the softest way that I could have,
right.
nor did we have good communication leading up to that event. So we had lost a little bit of that. So I didn't walk into it with the best ability, but exactly what you're saying is true. There might have been somebody else out there that could have spoken the life over you that right. would have helped snap that a little bit faster.
And I think that's the part in all of this is we talk about discipleship and mentorship and our purpose and what God has for us. Sometimes our purpose is merely living out our testimony every single day to the best of
today's
our ability.
Testimony.
Exactly. And taking life day by day and recognizing when we aren't in the right space spiritually. I read my Bible last week. I prayed last week. Was it as powerful or intentional as I would like it to be? No, it wasn't. But I think what's important to note is recognizing that mentally, I was not in a good space. It wasn't that I was angry or I was very just shut off. I was very shut off. Maybe it was, I was talking with a lady at church yesterday, and I really had this moment of epiphany in how I was spending all this time on social media. And this week, there's been some really catastrophic, heartbreaking events that have taken place in our nation over the last week. Things that were really just unheard of, some horrible aviation accidents, and being the wife of a pilot, truth is it always brings another level of fear when there's helicopters and planes involved and human actions. We are human and we make errors and accidents happen. But beyond that, there's been a lot of political changes this week and very big political stances. And, you know, that's one topic that we're not really going to dive into a whole lot just because it's not a place of divisiveness for us. It's just, we don't talk politics a whole lot, but social media, even in my algorithms, when I normally don't get politics and I don't get a lot of news, these stories flooded my social media this week. And I am a very empathetic person, and I feel the weight and the hurt and the heaviness that others are feeling around us. And I think that weighed on my spirit a lot this week. And I didn't realize it until talking with this lady at church. And it was just so profound in that light bulb moment of, this week has been heavy. And instead of me finding a way to break away from the junk of the world and the negativity and the heaviness and give it to God and pray about it, I found myself just getting sucked in. Let me go find the next article. Let me go see the next comment. Let me go see. There's Christians have been under fire politically. And there were some things of friends that were posted that it was just, wow, so heavy. And I didn't know how to process these things. So instead of actually processing them and taking that hurt and sadness to God to say, God, I'm leaving this at the cross. I am leaving this at your feet. This is out of my control. It consumed me to a point where I was just ingesting all of it. Let me find another update. Let me find who were these pilots? Are they someone that you went to flight school with? Did you know them? What's the story behind all of this? Then you've got a plane full of people who have children and parents that had just come from a competition in an ice skating competition. So you've got all of these athletes. Then the next day you have another child who just received life-saving treatment and is on their way home and their aircraft goes down. And it's like, as a mom, my heart just was so, so heavy. And I think it's important for us to recognize when the world around us is dealing with these heavy things that our mental health can be affected too. And just stepping away to put the phone down, to delete the social media accounts from your phone temporarily, to figure out how to manage the stress and manage the emotion in a way that is healthy for yourself, and healthy for those around you.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I talked this week too, as we have businesses that we are in and community business partners and stuff. And one of the things that is big in business and always has been is growth in business requires you to surround yourself with positive, successful leaders. And success isn't measured in a money benchmark. They sometimes go hand in hand for sure, but success in leadership is developed in the way that these people lead their organizations. But when you surround yourself in business with other powerful leaders, it brings you up. And our spiritual walk is not different. You know, when you feel like you can take it on yourself, it's going to get to you. It's going to weigh down. Right. You know, if you surround yourself with powerful spiritual leadership and companionship, it's going to help you when maybe the weight is a little heavy, because these are the people that are going to point you to God every time. Right. They're not the people that are going to save you, you know, and those people that are truly spiritually led are going to tell you that, hey, I'm not here. I'm not the reason you're going to get this breakthrough or this, we're going to work through this, but I know the guy who is, and I'm going to push you there. And again, sometimes it takes a different voice and a different mode of the same message to ring the bell.
Right.
I may be able to look you in the face as your husband of 23 years and tell you exactly what I see. And it may be 100% valid, and you may completely defy that and say, I'm good. The next person may be able to come in and say, hey, something's off. I can't really tell why, but what's going on? And they may give you the exact same opinion, the exact same counsel, and the exact same spirituality behind it, and it hits. And that's not...
But the key to both of those scenarios is that I have to be willing. We have to be willing, open, and transparent to share. And that's where this week was a halting point for myself, was recognizing that I was in that spot, but then being open and honest and trusting enough of my circle to let them into that.
For sure.
For you, I can blow you off, and I love you, and I'm so sorry to say it so bluntly, but like, you know me, okay. You say you're off. What's wrong with you? I can just nothing. I'm fine. And you'll go about your way. With others who maybe don't know me so well, I may have to seek out. I may have to to be more willing to step outside of my comfort zone. When you and I are connected, though, we had a conversation on Saturday, which was that breakthrough conversation. Truth be told, that conversation broke through in a 23-year battle that we have had, not even realizing it's a 23-year battle, but things that I know we both have prayed for, that we made progress. That you have to be willing. You have to be open.
Absolutely.
And honest with yourself enough to say, I'm going to trust that God's going to use this conversation to his glory. I'm willing to be open and obedient and confess where I have gone wrong.
It needs to be authentic.
Yeah.
It needs to be very, very real, because I think when, like we talked about earlier, when you stay at that surface position and you don't allow yourself to go deeper, regardless of the person on the other end, you're not going to get a return. Or you're not going to get a return that is going to equate to the need that you really have.
Right.
And let's fast forward to the healing side. Okay. So you and I, we worked through, you know, our issues. I feel like we've had some pretty good days since, continued to the process of really just talking and still nothing. It wasn't like everything was fixed in one time. We still, you know, slowly drawn it out and worked through some stuff, but you know, we were getting ready for the morning today and having part of our conversation about getting the junk out. And, you know, you were very, very intentional by reminding me a lesson learned. And that's, you know, when you start to get the junk out, you have to fill that space back in with God.
Right.
You have to. Well, I mean, okay. Well, you don't have to fill it back in with God. But if you choose not to, or you let the time lapse and don't begin to put God back into that, the world will get there.
The void just gets filled right back with the same junk.
It's going to have to be filled. It doesn't not get filled. But you get to take the advantage when you take the time to flesh it out.
Right.
You have the choice to say, I'm going to put what I want back in there, and I want God in there. I want there to be some spiritual healing that's there. And I think that becomes the difference between the relapse theory, where I had a problem, I got through it, but I went right back to a problem again. And those that seem to find a breakthrough, work through it, and then are able to have some sustainable energy to get to the next problem.
Right.
Again, we have a whole series of problems. They're all stacked up. But if you keep getting stuck on one particular problem over and over and over and over and over, it's probably because you're solving it temporarily, but not filling yourself back in with the Spirit enough to get sustainability, to get to that next benchmark of a problem.
Right. I think, and it starts with speaking it out. It starts with repenting. It starts with confession. It starts with communicating these things. So once you get to that point of awareness and communication and talking to whoever it is about whatever it is, I mean, we're sharing our recent, current, and have shared some of our past, but overall, like, this is an ongoing battle. This isn't, and when one topic gets, you think you've moved through it, Satan gets creative with the next one. So you constantly have to be on alert and constantly be fueling yourself and inviting the Holy Spirit into your life and maintaining that relationship and feeding yourself with Scripture, with godly people, with godly relationships, with people who are like-minded, with the things that you ingest, the things that you see, the things that you hear, the things that you surround yourself with, and then go and be that light to others. It all plays into the big picture, but the first part is being genuinely authentic and being transparent to be able to say and recognize, here is my weakness, here is my holdup, whether it is pride, whether it's mental health, whether it's addiction, whether it could be anything. But first we have to recognize that hook in our spirit, speak it out, speak against it, remove it, And then we have to start making those changes to prevent it.
And a major part of that's really dual-fold. One part of that is, yes, I need to have those people to speak it out to for that accountability piece, for somebody else to say, I hear you. I hear you. I can see this. But you're also going to have some transparency that is probably going to have an impact on somebody else that may right. not have been willing to speak it, because surely I'm the only one in the room that has this problem.
Right.
And when you are bold enough to let go and let God and trust the people that he's placed in your life, it gives a moment for somebody else maybe to let go of that tether to their own tie.
Right.
You know, and
then it builds a relationship, because then you don't feel alone and other people don't feel alone. And but this is not like a walk in the door, shake hands, hello, how are you? And then poof, we have made breakthrough in conversation one. Sometimes it does work that way. Sometimes people are really authentic and really genuine right from the offset. But sometimes people are more reserved and more protective with their hearts and themselves. And sometimes it takes a little longer. I have a wonderful, wonderful group of women that I love and adore. And I still stay sheltered sometimes. I still stay to myself and I don't reach out for that SOS help. I don't reach out to say, I need prayer.
But there can be some very hard topics to go through.
Yeah.
Our hard topic, I mean, I don't mind saying it. I don't mind speaking about it. Our tough place, our big fight this week was our intimacy in our marriage, our sexual intimacy in our relationship, and how we are working through that within our both. And that's a very vulnerable spot to open up to other people.
Absolutely.
You have to be protective with how you share, because you have another partner that's a part of that and you don't want to drag them through the mud. And it's also a very private part of your life. So maybe it's hard to describe the problem without being able to give all the details. And that's not necessarily an area where all the details would be necessary.
Right.
Sometimes you have to leave some things out because it would be inappropriate otherwise. But that's a huge thing to kind of maybe describe to somebody, is sex and intimacy in your marriage is a very hard place to talk about. And it can be a very big stumbling block, especially in a world that wants you to feel like it's the answer to everything and that there's always a way out otherwise. And when it came to our struggles this week, the breakthrough came in us being able to have a genuine conversation first with each other and becoming enough aware of the other person's spirit to be able to talk, feel heard, but sit and listen and have the other person feel like it was received.
Right.
And there was no an immediate effect. It didn't fix anything in that exact moment. It still took some time to have some actual things that we got to work through.
But there was also some revelations that after 23 years have never been spoken out loud.
That's true.
And when you feel like God, and this is in marriage as a whole, and I think for any married person that is listening, I think God moves us in different places at different times and brings us through struggles so that we can witness to and build up other couples, because this topic is not, it's not a new topic. It's not one that is, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're fighting about that. No, it is a common topic. What's not common is for both husband and wife to recognize and admit their place in the problem and in the lack of growth. So where I feel like God has led me down this path for some time, I have felt like for months I have been at this standstill of, God, you're doing something, but I don't know what. I feel like it all came to a head in a culmination of conversations this weekend that have been very raw and vulnerable, but you have admitted and spoken some things that really have been monumental in the growth of this specific topic that I know God is going to honor as we continue each and every day going through this. But as we talked about this morning, when we open up ourselves to that rawness and that vulnerability, we also open ourselves up to be susceptible to Satan's attacks. He's now going to toy with us even more because, oh, you're aware of that. You two are on the same page. Unity is happening. So let me jump in and divide. And that is where we it is necessary that we, number one, pray first. Number one, we are going to God first with all of our issues, that we are doing our best to stay committed to reading the word, because all of our direction and assignments are in that book. That's where God leads us. And number three, being surrounded by people that can help us be accountable, whether that is, hey, I'm struggling, I feel the urges for this, or I'm struggling and I just don't feel connected to Kenny right now. I need women in my life that are going to say, biblically, Chrissy, you are wrong. You need people in your life to say, Kenny, be strong, overcome the temptation. This is just Satan trying to get in to deter you off the path. And while I genuinely for so many years just I desired us to be accountability partners for each other, I think God's really shown me, especially in this season, that we, as we heal and as we overcome this specific topic in our marriage, that we need outside accountability to help us heal, to help us grow, so that as this no longer becomes a topic, because I know that God is going to deliver us from this problem that we have faced for so long, He's then going to open up a season for us to be that accountability for somebody else.
Absolutely. And it's a part of the story. It's going to be a beautiful story when it all comes to its closure. And I love the way that you illustrate the idea that you're always on guard, that you can't let it down, because you work so hard to get through something and you have this idea, well, I need a moment of rest. I've been pushing this rock up the hill for so long at this point. I got to the top of the hill. Let me take a breather for a second. And we don't operate in a spiritual warfare realm that allows a break.
Oh, Satan's never taken a break.
If you're feeling a break, I highly consider you measure your temperature of spirituality, because you are probably not where you should be, because you're no longer a threat. But if you get there and you feel like you need a break, rest in God's goodness. There is a way to have rest in the spirit still. And sometimes, you know, from the more recent personal experience, some of my most refreshed and rested moments have been when I've been running the hardest after God in spirituality.
Right.
And mentally, yes, it can be a bit taxing, because you're putting it in now to, you're judging every action, or you're conditioning everything that you do based on that method or that measure. But isn't that what we're called to do? I mean, you said it at the very beginning. All things we are supposed to do, we were divinely appointed and built and made to be here to worship God. And we have the ability to do that in everything. Doesn't mean we do. It doesn't mean we don't fall short, but it does mean that's what we're still called to do.
Right.
And that is going to put you in some uncomfortable places. That is going to give some people the squirrely eye sometimes. It's like, you're different. I don't really know why I'm uncomfortable with this. I'll check you later. But it doesn't deter from the fact that we need to be in that place. And that almost gives you that armor to consistently wear to say.
It's funny that you say that, because it takes me back to Daniel and, you know, at church yesterday. And in Daniel chapter 10 was the chapter that we were studying and PD was preaching on. And there's a point in there that talks about Daniel being left alone, like the angel came and the vision was there and the people around Daniel left him, and it were trembling. They left him, and God spoke to Daniel, and it was like I put a note in my Bible that there's times that we're going to be alone with God. Like, we need to have that alone time with God anyways, but in moments of God speaking to us, the people around us may flee out of fear, and we have to stand strong and be trusting that God's going to pick us up and God's going to bring us through it. And it may be really intimidating.
And in that same story, you just keep a couple verses down, you know, it says, when the presence of the angel or God's being showed up, and Daniel fell to his face in complete weakness, couldn't even get mm-hmm. up. And the spirit picked him up, and all of his strength was then restored. And right. And I love knowing that in a moment when you lose all of your strength, when you can't hold it up anymore, you come to a point of complete submission. And God comes to you and says, I got it. I got you.
And finally, it's like when the world flees you, when the world and all of the things that may be bogging you down, and they flee and go, and you are left in utter weakness in front of God and with God. It's like, this is all you need. This is all you need. And that faith and that trust, it's so hard to operate in that every day when you have a world that is just weighing down on you. And I think when I really look back at this week and see, I can just put that all into play in my own life, and how the world really, I allowed the world to just weigh on me so heavy. And then that rolled into who I was as a wife, as a mom, just as a human being. I shut down. I shut down. And then we get to a point of having some great conversation Saturday night, which led us into church Sunday morning. And it was like I was alone with God. Worship was a fantastic. The message was so needed. And then going on into prayer for another service, and it was just so powerful to feel the strength restored. And that's where it was at. And bringing that now here into Monday, and getting up this morning, had some great conversations yesterday. We had small groups start yesterday. It was such a fulfilling spiritual day. And then to start today at an early morning, to get some gym time in, and then have our time with God together when we got home, which again is something that we don't do regularly or consistently. It's all just reminding me about how intentional we need to be every day.
It's very intentional. One of the things that I kind of wrote down for myself, and we're sort of getting to the end of our time, but I really feel the need to share this, was I had sort of a, I don't know, my note literally says new vision for a godly week. At the top of my thing, I said, hey, start each week with a plan. Use Sundays to plan the week. Put some purpose behind the tasks of the week at hand, whether those be for you, the kids, the family. Just have a plan moving forward. Give each day to God first. Tithe the day. Start each day early, making time to get up and get going. Exercise. Use that to begin your day. Find moments for the dates in the week and prioritize my spouse. Find the plan for weekly lunches and discipleship and sharpening with those that are around you. And find those people that will disciple me. There's just tons of things that I put on my rolling list of trying to, I don't want to say evolve, I want to say transform my mental picture of how I go into a week. Because if you come at it with nothing, the lack of plans shows in everything. And God hasn't called us to be chaotic. He's called us to be intentional. And part of that intention is developing duties or developing decisions that that turn into to habits, because a habit doesn't just normally happen. A habit is a series of actions that you continuously perform that then become an automated thing for you. And we can get so conditioned to habitually be lazy or habitually be late or habitually sleep in or pick a thing because it's the easier, it's the path of least resistance. But if you put your mind to it, you say, that's not who I want to be. That's not how I want to encompass my identity and purpose. I want to walk with God every day. I want to read my Bible more. I want to pray more powerfully and consistently and feel those things. You have to make those decisions. They have to be choices that you choose and consistently follow through with. And the more consistent you are, the closer those become to a habit. And the closer those become to your day doesn't become, oops, I forgot to do this thing. It becomes, oh, wow, I am completely off center because I didn't do this thing.
Right.
It's a very different feeling in your psyche.
And I think it's important to note too that when we hear about habits, I sometimes have a hard time with habit and our spiritual walk, because I don't want my spiritual walk to just be habitual. I want it to be intentional. And I want to do it because I'm so in love with Jesus that I crave it. But in our physical being, if we don't do it on a regular basis, we talk about this a lot with 21 days of prayer. It takes 21 days to build a habit. So doing something in, 21 days in a row, yes, it's habitual. Yes, you're creating a habit physically speaking. But I never want my relationship with Christ to be a habit. I want to read the word because I get to read the word. I want to spend time in prayer because I crave to know my God even more every day. So when we talk about habits, it's like, okay, yes, I get up every day and I go to the gym and I come home and I shower and I go to work and I have my routine, and it's a habit, and it's just how our life goes and how your schedule goes. But I never want my walk with God to be routine. I want it to grow every single day. I want to be so surrendered and open to His will in my life that we just continue to grow and we continue to shine even more and more and more. And yes, habit goes along to, and honestly, I think it's why He has stretched me with the word obedience, because obedience kind of has that same connotation as habit. Like, okay, you're just doing this because it says you have to. Okay, you're just obeying the law because the law says, well, no, we are called to obey. There are commands in the living word that say you are to do this because I command you to do it. And I want to do it because I love Jesus Christ. I want to do it because it's what He commands us to do. And I want to be obedient. So I just challenge you, if you hear the word habit, if you hear the word routine, or if you hear the word obedience, I challenge you to look at it from a more positive place of not, oh my gosh, I have to do this, or, oh, this is just a habit because it's 4 o'clock on Saturday morning and I've just gotten into the habit of doing this. Well, do it. Find kind of goes back to how you started this with your heart's intent and where your heart's at and what your intentions are and what your motives are in doing the things that you do.
100%. Well, we're kind of getting to the end of our time here, so I'd like to close us out with some prayer and just bless this conversation. Heavenly Father God, we are so grateful and so thankful for the absolute peace that Your Spirit brings to us. We're grateful that we get to be a part of the stories that You have written on our own hearts and other people's hearts, God. We're so thankful for your gift of free will that you could make us do everything that you want us to do, but instead you give us that option, that ability to choose the things that we do and the ability to serve you, God. We're so thankful for that freedom and that respect and that ultimate love that you give us in just that ability of choice. God, for those that are listening and maybe struggling with where they're at in life, they're trying to find their identity, they're trying to find their purpose, God, I pray that they would begin to seek that they would begin to feel that, they would begin to hear your word speaking to their heart of what they're supposed to be doing and why.
Yes.
God, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless their efforts and their pursuits and their journeys. God, for those of us that are in a season of discipleship, that you would keep our sword sharp, that you would continue to bring those people in our lives that we can disciple to, and that you will fill us with people that will disciple us as well to keep us strong. God, for the marriages that may be struggling with some of these very same things, God, I pray for breakthroughs and miracles to occur. For those that are maybe not married but still need a breakthrough, a miracle, God, I pray, Lord, that they would pray first and not give up on the prayer, that the minute that they have submitted themselves to giving that to you, you heard it the first time. Whether an answer comes in that moment does not mean that was not heard, God, that you hear every single one of us all at the same time. And the power of just understanding your ability to omnipotently hear our hearts and our minds and multiple people and just decipher that, God, and make the plans that you have for us so beautiful and special is amazing. God, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to just bless our world as a whole, that you would grow and that you would be seen in so many people's lives and become a fire, something that is absolutely glorious and shown upon, that people would see the difference and they would say, I don't know what's different, but I have to have that.
Yes.
And for those, God, that are continuing to give up things, God, allow them to speak strong and to fill themselves with the things that are of you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your spirit being here, Lord. And please continue to be with each and every person in the nation that we live in. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, until next time, guys, we look forward to sharing our life with you. And we thank you so much for being a part of this journey with us.
Bye.
Bye.